God is the eternal king. And nobody can do anything about it.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of the message airing tonight, Pastor Brian Grant took us to Psalm 2, which illuminates what's behind the rampant chaos that describes our world of today. Violence on every hand, mass shootings, everybody, it seems, is in a rage. None of this takes the prophet by surprise. In fact, as Pastor Grant points out from the text, it all stems from man's unreasoning rebellion against God and his control. Even in our own blessed land, says Pastor Grant, freedom of religion has become freedom from religion. Angry people demanding unbridled freedom to do as they please, whenever they please, and one dare not criticize. Pastor Grant gives an illustration of how one can take a knee for anything except Jesus. But Pastor Grant reminds us how the text underscores the inevitable fact that God remains sovereign and that he has a plan in place. We will pick up the message as Pastor Grant addresses God's response. Here now is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of his message, What in the World is Going On?
The nation's rebellion, but second, the Lord's response. If here we are in Psalm chapter 2, verse number 4, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure, yet have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. There are three aspects of the Lord's response which I need to point out to you. First of all, we need to look at his derision. As the Almighty King observes our rebellion, the text says, he laughs. How many of you would like God to laugh at you? You see, God is the eternal king, and nobody can do anything about it. You can rebel all you want. You can decide, I'm going to do my thing all you want. But God is the eternal king, and young man, you can't do a living thing about it. But God laughing is what we call an anthropomorphic expression. Oh, that's a big word. Those of you who want to get that spelling, put it down. A-N-T-H-R-O-P-O-M-O-R-P-H-I-C. A-N-T-H-R-O-P-O-M-O-R-P-H-I-C. You say, Pastor, are you cursing? No, I'm not cursing. But God's laughing is what the theologian calls an anthropomorphic expression. He said, break that down. God is a spirit. Can a spirit laugh? No. You see, in the scriptures, you'll find a number of these anthropomorphic expressions where God uses human terms to help us relate to what he's trying to get across. Does God have a hand? You see, some of you will fight with me and say, Pastor, you're teaching bad doctrine. I thought you were a sound pastor, but you're gone shaky on me now. You see, I read all the while about the hand of God. But you see, when the Bible talks about the hand of God, it helps us to recognize when God says, I hold you in my hand, you get the sense that you are secure. Amen? When God says, don't worry because my eyes are on you, you feel good because, you know, he is watching me, and he will see anybody who tries to see me a harm. God uses all these expressions to help us because God is a spirit. I heard one crazy preacher. I couldn't believe he's such a big name preacher, but he said that God the Father is a man about 6'2" tall. And I'm saying, as I'm listening, I'm saying, you mean I'm taller than God the Father? You see, he has brought God down to us. And he uses something in the Bible about this, the God's hand, whatever the size of God's hand. And he says, well, if his hand is only that tall, then that a man with that size hand would only be this tall. And he missed the bottom line. God is a spirit. And folks never ever forget that. God is a spirit. He fills the entire universe. The entire universe. He's not limited to a body like you do. The Lord Jesus Christ has a body. But before his incarnation, he was also spirit. But because of your sin and my sin, Jesus Christ came to earth and took a body. And he still has a body. But God the Father has no body. So what is God trying to say? He says God laughs. It's as if God is saying to us as we rebel against him, are you folks crazy? You ever seen somebody doing something crazy, something stupid? And you just look at them and laugh. How stupid. And that's what God is trying to get across. It's as if God is sitting on his throne and he's looking at us rebelling and saying, well, look at what we've done. We pass all these laws and we pretty much got rid of God. God laughs. God laughs. What if I'm talking to somebody here this morning who's trying to put God on the back burner of your life? I want you to know, if you're trying to put God on the back burner, God is laughing. He's saying, are you crazy? Do you know I am the Almighty God? His derision. But secondly, his displeasure. As we look at the Lord's response, his derision, but then his displeasure. Verse number 5, then he shall speak to them in his wrath. He shall speak to them in his wrath. You know, one day God will speak in wrath, for God's judgment is certain. And in a minute I'll talk more about the coming judgment. But I just want you to know that today is a day of grace. Today God is speaking to you in grace. And I want you to know, my friend, young person, older person, I want you to know it doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter how messed up you might be. It doesn't matter how you might have rebelled against God. It doesn't matter all the mess you got into. I want you to know that right now God is speaking to you in grace. And today he is inviting you to come and receive Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Today he speaks in grace. But that ain't going forever. That ain't going to go on forever. The third point, his derision, his displeasure, his declaration in verse 6. I hope you saw it. Verse number 6. Here's what God says. I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I have set my king. God has set his king upon his holy hill, and the world can rebel all they want, but God's king cannot be deposed, for Jesus Christ shall reign. Oh, you missed a great chance to say amen just about there. You see, I'm becoming like Brother Trout. Today, stay with me now, because I'm going to give you a quick peek into the future. Today, he's seated at his Father's right hand, but one day soon, he's coming back for us, and after he comes, and the marriage supper of the Lamb is over, he will return to earth. You say, what is this marriage supper of the Lamb? Remember, the church is what? The church is the bride of Christ, and one day soon, the Lord Jesus is going to come, and he's going to take every believing Christian, everybody who is born again, he's going to snatch us out, he's going to take us to be with himself, and there is going to be the judgment seat of Christ, part one. We won't talk about that today, but secondly, there's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. By the way, on earth, there's going to be this thing called the Great Tribulation. The tribulation and the Great Tribulation will be going on during that period of time. But at the end of the tribulation, the Lord Jesus himself shall come and will reign for 1,000 years as king upon the throne of David. And guess who will be reigning with him? the church. The church will be reigning with Jesus Christ on earth for 1,000 years. Now, during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, there will be peace, for Satan will be bound. Turn in your Bible. Hold yourself right here. Hold your Bible in Psalm 2, but jump over to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. When you find it, say amen. Revelation 20. Revelation 20, verses 1 to 3. Here's what it says. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for what? 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Listen. Can you imagine? The Bible is telling us Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. He said there's going to be peace on earth. The Bible lets us know the lion will lie down with the lamb. You know, sometimes you hear politicians talking about, they're reading these passages about the lion lying down with the lamb, but they give you no context as to when this is all about. You see, this is after the Lord has come for his church, and now he's returning with his church to rule. He's ruling with a rod of iron. Satan is going to be locked away for 1,000 years. And the Bible tells us that peace will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. It's going to be a time of peace and harmony, a time of peace and prosperity, a time that this world has not known. Bible scholars refer to this as the millennial reign of Christ. The millennial reign of Christ, where Jesus Christ shall reign for 1,000 years on earth. But at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is going to be loosed. Oh, my. Look with me at Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose numbers is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will torment it day and night forever and ever. Stop a minute. We have this idea. The world is telling us that the biggest problem with mankind has is a lack of opportunity. Let me be honest, opportunity does matter. They tell us that the greatest problem with mankind is a lack of education. Education does matter. They tell us the greatest problem is our environment. Environment does matter. But young person and older person, don't ever miss this. The greatest problem with man is a sinful heart.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
My friend, if you never believed it, this ought to help you to believe it. That after 1,000 years of peace and prosperity, mankind will get right back and will follow through on what Psalm 2 is talking about. That the nations will rebel and said, we don't want him. We will get right back to what happened at Calvary. We will not have this man to reign over us. After 1,000 1,000 years of peace and prosperity, the nations of the world will decide against Jesus Christ. It is hard to believe. And they will encompass the city of Jerusalem, the headquarters from which the Lord Jesus Christ is reigning, with an attempt to overthrow him and destroy him. And the Bible says fire will come from heaven to destroy them. My friend, the biggest problem, young man, young person, the biggest problem in your life is not the fact that your parents mistreated you, although that is a factor. The problem is not the poverty you grew up with, although that's the factor. The biggest problem is you were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And until that problem is solved, you will never have satisfaction. You will never achieve your purpose in life. But hallelujah, Jesus Christ came and paid the price for your sin and my sin. And this morning, you can have salvation. God can solve your sin problem, and you could come into a perfect relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, but that's not the end of the story. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it. You see, my friend, Jesus shall reign. Jesus shall reign. God has decreed, I have set my king upon my holy hill. Jesus Christ shall reign. And the world can do whatever they want to do, but nobody can depose him, as I have said before. And then I saw a great white throne, verse 11, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead. Cremation won't help if you cremate and scatter the body in the ocean. The sea gave up the dead, and Hades delivered up the dead who were in it, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is what is called the great white throne judgment. And I'm so glad I won't be there. I'm so glad I won't be at this great white throne judgment, because I'm so glad my name is written in that Lamb's book of life. I was only 9 years old. I was only 9 years old. But that day, I received Jesus Christ into my heart. And God saved me. My friend, he has saved me, and he has kept me, and he will keep on keeping me saved. Amen. Nothing can separate me from this love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And because Jesus saved me, it's impossible for me to stand at this great white throne judgment, because my sin issue has been dealt with. And I need to ask you, is your sin issue dealt with? Are you sure that your sins are blotted out? Are you sure that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life? If you're not sure, you need to make sure today. You need to receive Jesus. It doesn't matter your age or your stage. If you're not 100% sure, you need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and into my life and save me. I don't want to get to the great white throne judgment. Hallelujah for the day of grace. But listen, God has made his declaration, and his king is going to sit on his holy hill. After all this, God will establish a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness reigns. It's called heaven. It's a home for all those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb, and we will be with him throughout all the countless ages of eternity. Hey, the nation's rebellion. Secondly, the Lord's response. Finally, the Spirit's recommendation. Here we have it in Psalm 2. Psalm 2, as we wind things down. Psalm 2, verse 10. Know therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges. Listen good. Verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. Blessed are those who put their trust in him. Three quick things. One, serve the Lord with fear. Serve the Lord with fear. Instead of rebelling and resisting God, submit to him today and make a determination to serve him. Second, kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. A kiss speaks of love. A kiss speaks of reconciliation. And God is saying, it's time for reconciliation. And as Jesus Christ reaches out to you, he says, reach back out to him and kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. Show love and submission to the Lord today. Listen, serve him, but kiss him. You know, this idea of kissing the Son, it helps us to realize this relationship that God is after is not some mean-spirited relationship. He's after a love relationship with you. And I hope you realize that. He wants to save you, and he wants to bring you into a love relationship with the King of Kings, the Almighty God. And he says, kiss the Son. He wants a kiss. He wants your loving submission. But then third, put your trust in him. The Psalm ends with this. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the person. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Last Labor Day, I spoke at a conference in Harlem, New York City. And on the last day of the conference, I challenged all there to make a recommitment to share the gospel of Christ with those they came in contact. You know, two ladies took this so seriously, and praise the Lord, that they hadn't even finished the block. They left the church, and in the middle of the block, they ran into a young man, apparently in his 30s or so, I would judge his age. And they picked a conversation with him, and eventually they were able to share the gospel with this 30-something-year-old young man. And they shared the gospel with him, and that day, that Labor Day, that young man decided to trust Jesus Christ as a Savior. He did something. He did something that was so surprising. Right there on 133rd Street in Harlem, he knelt down on the sidewalk in submission to God. He knelt on the sidewalk and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. They brought him to the church, and I had a chance to chat with him. And he said to me, he said, you know, Pastor, he said, years ago, I decided I didn't want to have anything to do with God. I rebelled. I wanted freedom. He said, I wanted freedom to party. I wanted freedom to do what I wanted to do. I wanted freedom just to have a good old time. But he said, you know, 15 years have passed, and I'm still as empty as ever. All this freedom I have gotten has really not improved my life. I'm empty. And so today I've come to Jesus. My friend, that's what God wants to ask you to do today. Freedom is finding Jesus.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward.
Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.